And this is the prayer for this season. A right look at him, look right side of him, as he hang there for your sins, or as he was slaughtered or slain for your sins. It'll dissolve your heart and into tears and make it soft and tender. And I just pray that this truth will melt your heart. And it does. It really does. For good. For good. And that's the prayer for this Passion Week. And today I want to talk about the Lamb of God. And John chapter 1, verse 9, when Jesus was just beginning his ministry, and John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him. And do you remember what John said? John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," right? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And to the Jewish audience, they knew right away what that meant. Lamb meant sacrifice, and sacrifice is to take care of the sin, okay? So last week we looked at Jesus crucified as a curse, cast out, took on the wrath of God upon himself. And today we want to look at the cross as a sacrifice, okay? Entire Old Testament is about sacrifice. In fact, you will see New Testament is about sacrifice too, okay? So that's what we're going to do. And this is a lamb. I found this picture. And you're probably thinking, what kind of formation is that, right? Lamb, still alive, if you could see it, still alive, tied up, ready to be slain, but pretty calm, pretty quiet, silent. And that's the nature of this animal, okay? And lamb, for those of you who do not know what lamb is a baby sheep, like a year old, a baby sheep. So sheep or the lamb are pretty helpless creatures. They're not very fast, and they're not very bright. Bad combination. They are slow herbivores, okay? Generally speaking, that's a very bad combination. They tend to wander off. They easily fall into crevices or troubles. And they tend to have low IQ and high in stubbornness. Some of you may think, is he talking about me? No. Well, I'm talking about sheep, and it's interesting that Bible says we are like sheep, right? We are like sheep, have gone astray, right? I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about sheep right now. And sheep or lamb without a shepherd is pretty much dead meat, right? That's basically what it is. So sheep must depend on shepherds for water and pasture, and for survival. And I want to tell you two special features about this animal, okay? Two special features of the animal, sheep or lamb. Number one, sheep are models of submissiveness. Do you see it? They're just silent. Even to the slaughter, it follows without resistance, right? Opening its mouth, just silent. Second feature of this animal, or sheep or the lamb, is defenseless, basically defenseless. They're not very protective or fighting, defenseless. Can you put those together, submissive and defenseless? That's basically what lamb is, and Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's pretty amazing because, again, if you think about the attribute of God, who Jesus is, who God is, and then talk about lamb, think about lamb, it's pretty amazing. In our attribute of God class, we'll be talking about holiness. And holiness, among other things, it covers his transcendent greatness. Would you just think with me? How great is our God? We sing that song all the time. How big is he? Is he bigger than the United States? Is he bigger than the world? Is he bigger than the galaxy? What's bigger than that? I'm not sure. Is he bigger than 10,000 galaxies? He's transcendent, which means unapproachable, incomparable. His transcendent greatness. It's like comparing, I thought, elephant with an ant. Okay? I think that's comparable. Small elephant, a small ant and elephant. But we can't compare to God. Transcendent greatness and infinitely perfectly holy, which means morally pure, has no sin. Therefore, he abhors and hates sin. Okay? And because of out of the holiness, if he sees sin, which offends him, because he's infinitely holy, he must punish, which is what wrath is, wrath of God is. Okay? If you consider that, holiness of Christ, and sin was placed upon him, he bore our sin. Can you wrap your minds around that? That's what Lamb of God is. Okay, so with that, today's text, Jessica, Isaiah 53, which is the famous messianic lamb passage of the suffering servant. And who is this passage talking about? We'll see. Okay. It says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. We just talked about that. Very non-resistant, defenseless. Okay. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, doesn't even make noise, right? Silent. So he did not open his mouth. And I see he did not open his mouth twice here. By oppression, oppression and judgment, he was taken away. Yet who of this generation protested? For he was cut off, forsaken, cast out from the land of the living. He was completely forsaken. For the transgressions of the people, he was punished. Why all this? Verse 12 says, for he bore the sin of many. Okay, he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Okay? So when we say Lamb of God, the word is amnos. Amnos. Okay? Those of you who know about this Amnos ministry in London, that's what it means, a Lamb of God, okay? Lamb that is ready to be slaughtered. When Bible says the Lamb of God, it usually means three things. We're going to talk about two today, one last one on Friday. Three things. Number one, the lamb that was used daily for sacrifices for sin offering. Daily they kill lamb, daily, okay? And imagine how many lambs were killed. Okay, that's first one. And second meaning of the Lamb of God is, in today's text, Isaiah 53, it refers to the messianic lamb. The Messiah was pictured or imaged as a lamb. Okay, that's interesting. It could have been different animal. It could have been bull or lion or donkey or whatever, but it was a lamb, which means it's ready to be slaughtered. And we see that ready to be slaughtered. And third and last one, when we say Lamb of God, it refers to the Passover lamb, which is what we're going to be talking about on Friday of the cross. And my question to you is, which one is Jesus? The lamb that's sacrificed every day, sin offering, and messianic lamb of Isaiah 53, or is he the Passover lamb? Which one is he? All three of them. In fact, Jesus is the fulfillment of and the replacement of every sacrifice in the Old Testament. Can you believe that? Every sacrifice of the Old Testament, Jesus replaced and he perfected. Okay? So I want to talk about Old Testament sacrificial system real quick. Okay? What is the concept of sacrifice? What is the concept of sacrifice? Well, we need to understand. First thing is penalty. Substitutionary, and it is about death, okay? This is what it means. When you picture a sacrifice of the animals, what is that for? It is to restore or reconcile the relationship that has been broken between God and people, God and you. It's about two parties, and the relationship has been broken between God and people. Why? Because of sin and disobedience of the people. That's your sin. God never sins. God is constant. God is immutable. He's holy. But we always, right? So what is sacrifice about? It is sacrifice is about restoring the relationship. Can I just ask you, who came up with the idea? God came up with the idea. Therefore, it's God's wisdom. Therefore, it's God's grace. And therefore, it's something that He desires. That's what sacrifice is. Can you imagine? He came up with the idea of lamb being slain. Jesus is the lamb, and He came up with the idea. It's His wisdom, His goodness, and that's His desire. He desired to do something to His Son as a Lamb of God. That was His desire. Can you believe that? Okay, you know, if you think about it. So here is a basic picture of a sacrifice. If you could just picture with me, okay? An animal, let's say a lamb, okay? And sin was placed upon it, and it gets slain. Anywhere you want to picture it, okay? Slain the sheep, and the blood shed, okay? The sheep was brought by the worshiper, Old Testament worshipers, to be sacrificed. And lamb is slain and blood is shed. Why? Because animal is killed, slain, and penalized because of your sin. Do you picture it? There's an animal. Animal gets slain. Animal gets shed the blood. Animal gets killed because of your sin. Substitutionary. Penalty. How? By death. Okay? Bible says the wage of sin or the penalty of sin or the price of sin is death. In other words, sin, you need to be killed. You need to die. That's the penalty. That's the price. That's what you need to pay. But animal pays that. In other words, the animal takes your place on your behalf. And instead of you, that's what substitution means, okay? For your sin and disobedience, which deserves death before holy God. Here's a couple things that's so interesting in Old Testament sacrifice. In the Old Testament sacrifice, worshipers, you bring a lamb, okay, for your sin. And oftentimes, this is what you do. If you look at Leviticus chapter 1, you lay your hands upon the animal. Lamb, you know, there's a head. And you lay your two hands upon the animal. And you pray over it. What are you doing? What are you doing to the animal? There's some sort of transfer. Some sort of representation. Some sort of substitution. You lay your hands upon the lamb. Okay? The second thing you do is, oftentimes you bring your lamb, as an Old Testament worshiper, you slain the animal. You slain it. That's the Old Testament sacrifice. You know, when we went to Africa a couple years ago, did some of you do it? One missionary asked us to slain the goat. And we just didn't have the guts. New Heart people don't have the guts to do that. We just couldn't do it. But he did it, the priest. I mean, the missionary. I call him priest. Yeah. He slain the goat. Okay? But in the Old Testament sacrifice, you lay your hands upon it, and you slain the animal. I'm just drawing the picture for you, okay, before we talk about Jesus as the Lamb of God, okay? And in Old Testament sacrifice, what is this all for? It's about atonement, biblical word, okay, forgiveness, biblical word, or propitiation, all biblical word, basically means the same thing, okay? Atonement means forgiveness or remission of sin. Your sin has been forgiven. It has been taken care of, paid for, atoned, okay? And how does that work? You know, when blood is shed, there's a middle person called a priest. He takes the blood and he goes to God and show God. And because of the blood, the death, which represents death, your sin is atoned, okay? In other words, blood atones your sin. That's how it works. When God sees the blood, he's holy, and he hates sin, he abhors sin. Therefore, he has this infinite wrath against sin. And when he sees the blood, his wrath is satisfied. Okay? His wrath is appeased. He's calmed of the holy God. Toward the sin is atoned and forgiven and propitiated, which means his anger and his wrath is satisfied and appeased. Therefore, now you and God are reconciled and now have peace because of the blood. That's the Old Testament sacrifice. Could you hold for a moment and think with me? This is the Old Testament sacrifice. Does that make sense? I sinned, an animal dies, and that death and that blood, God sees and he forgives. He sees me as a repentant sinner. He sees me as a worshiper. He sees that as the penalty of my sin. How does that work? God's idea, God's wisdom, God's grace. That's what worship, Old Testament sacrifice is. Do you see the grace? Sacrifice is means of God's worship. Okay? What are the important components? Three things: lamb, blood, and priest. You all know these, right? There has got to be a sacrifice, needs to be slain, the blood, and the priest takes that blood to God. Three important things: lamb, blood, and priest. Real quickly, okay? Lamb has to be perfect, without blemish and without defect. Is there such thing? I don't know. You know? What about blood, okay? Why such cruel method or choice? Such cruelty. What is that about blood? Is God a bloodthirsty person? Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says, the life of a creature is in the blood. That's right. Okay, without the blood, we go back to the dust. And I've given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. Now, here's the key statement. Blood that makes atonement for one's life, okay? It is the blood, okay? In other words, blood represents death, and death price has been completely paid, and your sin is atoned for. That's the concept. That's the concept, okay? One last thing I want to explain about Old Testament concept. Once a year, there's something called Day of Atonement, and if you live in New York City, you heard of Yom Kippur. That's what Day of Atonement means. Yom means day, Kippur means atonement, okay? A Day of Atonement. What is that about? There are two sacrifices, and it's in Leviticus chapter 16, that happens once a year on the Day of Atonement. The first one is you kill lambs, okay? Generally, it is about the atonement of the whole nation for the sin, including priests, because priests themselves are sinners, and the people are made. On this day, lambs are killed and slain, and the high priest, only high priest, can you watch this, takes the blood and go through some place called Holy of Holies, through the curtain, into the darkness, into the Holy of Holies, where there is an Ark of the Covenant. Okay? Indiana Jones, the Lost of the Ark, right? That Ark. And inside there is two tablets of the Ten Commandments. And on the cover, with the golden, there is something called Mercy Seat. Mercy Seat. High priests go into the Holy of Holies. You could only go to God with the blood. That's the sacrifice. And he sprinkles that blood on top of something called mercy seat, which is above the law. Do you picture it? Right? That's the Day of Atonement. So only high priest, only with the blood, and it's on the mercy seat. Second type of sacrifice is something called scapegoat. How many of you heard of this? You heard of this, right? We use this word too. But there is something called scapegoat sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, and this is very interesting, okay? While the lamb is being killed, this time there's a goat, and the people come, and there's a goat that's going to be the scapegoat sacrifice. They put their both hands upon that goat, okay? They put their both hands upon that scapegoat, and you confess your sin. Entire nation's sin. So this poor animal bore all the sin of the nation. Okay? You put your hands upon that goat, an animal, and he bore the sin of the nation. And what they do is, instead of killing that goat, lead to wilderness, and just cast it out. Let it die in the wilderness, forsaken it. Okay? That's about two sacrifices on the Day of Atonement. That's the Old Testament sacrifice. Now, what is the problem with the animal sacrifice or the Old Testament sacrifice? There is a huge problem, okay? Hebrews chapter 10 says, okay, talking about this Old Testament sacrifice, animal sacrifice, but those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and the goats to take away the sins. Okay, I want you to take a look at it. Okay? It's just a reminder. When you offer this lamb, oh, I got to come back next year. I got to find this perfect lamb. I got to find this lamb that without blemish and defect. And I got to come back all the way to Jerusalem and kill this lamb again. Meaning, there is that guilt remains. There's no cleansing of your heart. It's all external. Right? And you still feel guilty. You still feel like a sinner. It's an annual reminder of sins. Why? Because it is impossible for animals' blood to take away sins. That's a big problem, isn't it? Okay? That's the Old Testament sacrifice. Now, Jesus as the Lamb of God. Okay? Christ as the Lamb of God. He came up with the idea of sacrifice. I want to remind you. So it's his wisdom. And it's his desire, it's his goodness, and it's his grace. Okay, and I call it New Testament sacrificial system based on the teaching of the Hebrews. And what did Christ do as the Lamb of God? Okay, 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For you know that it was not with the perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed." It depends on which translation you have. It's either redeemed or ransomed. Okay, a little bit different. Redeemed is a slavery word. Okay, if you want to set someone free from slavery, you need to go pay and buy that slave and you redeem that slave. Slavery, slavery of sin. Okay, ransom, on the other hand, is when you are captured or when you are in a prison, what you need to do is you pay the price and that prisoner is set free. Okay, either way, it's about freedom. Okay, either way, the price needs to be paid. Okay? So it wasn't about you were redeemed from the empty ways of life and handed down to you from your ancestors, but you're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and defect. And check this out. He was chosen before the creation. Talking about Christ the Lamb, right? Of the world, but was revealed in the last time for your sake. Isn't that amazing, right? Isn't that amazing? Jesus, the Lamb of God, redeemed you and ransomed you by paying the price, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood, his death, paid, right? So that you will be redeemed. Can I just ask you a good question? Who did Jesus make that payment too? His life was a payment. His life was a price for the penalty. Who did Jesus pay that penalty to? Price to? What are some options? Okay, Satan? Someone else? Or is it God? It's not Satan. We don't owe Satan anything. We don't owe him anything. Okay, he's a liar. Okay? We don't owe him anything. You know who who Jesus paid that penalty to? To the Father. Now think about this craziness, right? He's paying the price back to the Father, and Father sent the Son to pay the price. Do you see what's going on? Right? It's amazing if you think about it. Okay? Christ paid the penalty. Christ paid the penalty with his own blood to his Father, and Father sent Christ to pay the penalty as a lamb. What kind of business is this? It's family business. It's crazy business. Right? And I thought about this. He pay the penalty for this church. He already paid. He already paid the penalty for your family, we believe. He has already paid the price for your children, we believe. Do you see it? They're not in Christ, but price has been paid. We could live with that kind of faith. Right? Christ paid the penalty for your church, for this church. Wow, that gives such confidence to ministry, doesn't it? He paid the price for your family members who's not in Christ yet, but the price has been paid. So he's going to draw your family members to himself. That's faith, isn't it? Okay. What other things has he done as a Lamb of God? Hebrews chapter 10. Then he said, "Here I am. I've come to do your will." This is Jesus, okay? He set aside the first, the Old Testament sacrifice, and established the second, the New Testament sacrifice. What's the New Testament sacrifice? The cross. Okay? Entire sacrificial system. And by that will we have been made holy. Now, it's not just annually reminded that I'm a sinner. It's not just annually I need to find a perfect lamb. I need to come back to Jerusalem. I need to slay that animal. You don't have to do that because you have been made holy, right? Through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus, once and for all. That's the New Testament sacrifice. Not every man. Can you imagine how many lambs are killed? On average, we're going to talk about on Friday, on Passover, they kill lambs for a week. In Jerusalem, they kill, if I remember correctly, about 40,000 lambs. I don't know where they get them. Okay, 40,000 perfect lambs. They kill 40,000 lambs. And it is known that some of the priests during that season, they get activated like a reserve army, reserve priest, because there are so many lambs to kill. But one lamb, once and for all, he perfected, right? Day after day, he's talking about Old Testament sacrifice. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Okay? Which can never take away sins. Now, we're talking about the New Testament sacrifice of Christ. But when this priest, Jesus, has offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, now he's set down, meaning he's done. Okay? He went into the Holy of Holies, found peace, atonement, forgiveness, reconciliation, everything, adoption, everything, and then now he's sat down at the right hand of God. It is done. It is completely done. Okay? That's what Christ has done through the cross as the Lamb of God. Okay? And so now what? Okay? What difference does it make? Just simply, therefore, since that has been taken care of, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Okay? Only high priest could get in. You go and you die because you are not holy. Okay? But with the blood, only with the blood, you could go into the Holy of Holies. Through the curtain, you could go into the Holy of Holies. Now you could enter with confidence. Directly with the blood. Okay? You don't have to have another priest. You could go into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. And a new and living way has opened for us through the curtain, through the veil that is his body. Amazing, amazing gospel. You already see what's going on here, right? Christ has opened up a new life, new way of living for us through the curtain. What is he talking about? The veil of the temple, of the tabernacle. You could never go in there because God is holy, infinitely holy, and he abhors and he angers and he's wrath towards you because of sin. Not towards you, but towards your sin. You could never go in. Now it has been open, torn. Right? And the curtain and the veil is his body, the cross. Do you remember what other places where, you know, curtain has been torn? If you read the Gospels, when Jesus breathed his last, something incredible happens. Among other things, the veil in the Jerusalem temple has been torn from top to bottom. Incredible big curtain split open. Right? Do you remember any other place where something has been torn? There's another place. Do you remember when he was baptized, when he started his ministry? Right? And Jesus comes along to the John the Baptist, and he gets baptized. Amazing thing happened. The heaven was split open, torn open, and the Spirit descended upon him, and then there was a voice, "You are my beloved, and with you I am well pleased." Okay? Heaven was torn open in his first baptism, and heaven was torn open completely. The veil has been torn open on the cross, which is his second baptism. Okay? It's incredible. You could go into the Holy of Holies, to the presence of living God, because you have the blood. Because of the blood, there is no sin on you. When God sees you, you're perfect, you're beautiful, you're incredibly righteous, perfectly righteous. That's the only way you could approach him. You cannot approach him otherwise, but you could go him directly with confidence because of the blood. That's how powerful that blood is. Every single sin, past, present, and the future, and your worries. I don't think, when we say sin, we don't really think about other things, but what other things that encompasses sin? Sin covers your pain, I think. Sin covers your anger, because anger is oftentimes sin. Sin covers your shame. People are so shameful about different things. Shameful about their family. Shameful about their body figures. Shameful about whatever. But that has been completely paid off. Completely paid off. Penalty has been paid. Price has been paid. That's why you could approach God, you know, with complete confidence through the curtain that is his body. Okay? We'll talk about this next Friday. Jesus as the Passover Lamb. I'm going to skip this. Okay? Jesus was the scapegoat or the sacrifice as well as the Passover Lamb. Okay? Remember I told you? A goat, you lay your hands upon the goat, transfer all your sin, and the goat gets cast away, forsaken into the wilderness. Jesus is also the scapegoat, okay, of the Day of Atonement. I dare to picture something like this. Put my hands upon the head of Jesus. Can you do that? Is that okay to do that? Can you come and put your hands upon my head and start praying for me? I think that would be very uncomfortable. But imagine I put my hands upon Jesus, his head. And pray for and transfer all my sin to him. I don't think I could do that to Jesus, the Holy God. But I think I could do to a goat. I think I could do it. A sheep, I could do it. By faith. Right? That's what faith is. We lay our hands upon that animal because he came all the way down to a lamb. And he's very silent. He's very submissive. And he's very... He doesn't open his mouth. He doesn't resist. So you could just put your hands upon that sheep and the goat. Right? And Jesus took all of my sin, led to the wilderness, and forsaken. cast out all the way down to hell, where I need to go. All the way down to hell. With all of my sin taken care of. Okay? My side of this gospel is great story. His side of the gospel is incredibly painful story. That's the gospel. Isn't it? He was forsaken. Now I go to the Father, excuse me, God, and He's my Father. That's who He is. I find home with God. My holy of holy is my home because He's my Father now. That's who He is. And I am a child of God. And that's who I am because of Him. Right, that's the gospel story, isn't it? Scapegoat story. I want to just kind of sum it up, okay? This Lamb of God gospel story. The entire sacrificial system of the Old Testament, daily sin offering of the lambs, every lamb, ewe lamb, okay? And Day of Atonement, okay? All the lambs and the scapegoat and the Passover lamb and the entire sacrificial system is replaced by Jesus on the cross. When the Lamb of God was sacrificed on Calvary. Jesus on the cross is the Lamb of God, has fulfilled the entire sacrificial system or the sacrifice of the Old Testament once and for all. It's done. He is the Lamb. It's His blood. He is the high priest. He is the curtain, His body torn. He walks into the Holy of Holies. And there is the Ark of Covenant, and He sprinkles His own blood, and He is the mercy seat. He is the fulfillment of the law. It's the mercy that triumphs over judgment, and He's everything. Do you see it? He's everything. He replaced everything through the cross. That's the Christian gospel message. It is through His death, and it is through His blood. We always tend to want to just think about me. How does it apply to me? But I just want you to ask you to think about the bigger picture of what Christ has done. It's not about me. Right? There's always two ways to find out. Figure this life. You start with yourself, and who is God? Okay, let me just try to figure Him out. What are some different people say about God? We try to do that. The second option is you start with God and try to figure out who I am. Okay? It's a completely different option, right? And the scripture is the latter. The first one is very unreliable. It changes all the time. But the second never changes. Heaven and earth will fade. But my word will remain. Right? There's one more place the Lamb shows up. In fact, 29 times in the book of Revelation. When you get a chance, I ask you to go read the whole thing. It's incredible. Okay? John the Apostle saw in vision. What happens at the end? Okay, what happens at the end? There is a tens of thousands of angels and creatures and elders circling around one throne of God, circled by creatures and elders and all kinds of saints, tens of thousands of people worshiping. Holy, holy, holy. Can you imagine 10,000 people worshiping? Can you imagine a giant stadium like full of people worshiping, one person sitting in the middle? Can you imagine the loudness? Can you imagine the unison? Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 who is worthy of our praise. It's that area, it's that chapter, okay? And who is sitting on that throne? A lamb. Lamb. Probaton. Not Amnos. Probaton. 29 times in the book of Revelation. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000. How many times is that? 10,000 times 10,000. That's a lot, right? Yeah. Can you imagine the loudness? Can you imagine the awe-ness of that? Right? And they encircle the throne. Who sits there? The Lamb sits there. And the living creatures and the elders. And if you go to, like, previous verse, the Lamb that was slain is there. There's a knife mark right here. Right here. Okay, that's the way to slain. I didn't want to say that, but you could YouTube it. Right? Neck. And in a loud voice, they are saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Those of us who are redeemed by the blood of Christ will be doing that. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. I found this picture a little cartoonish, but I think it helps, right? Calvary, Jesus as the Lamb of God, he was sacrificed. This is the New Testament sacrifice, which replaced the entire Old Testament sacrifice. The veil has been opened, and this now is the Holy of Holies. Right? Cross became the Holy of Holies. We sang this right before the message, "Worthy is the Lamb" by Hillsong. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, right? The price, penalty paid. Bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for this nail-pierced hands. Washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victoriously. High and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heavenly crucified. This is what I found, a little bit different than what we sang today. Darling of, I think this is British, darling of heavenly crucified. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, and worthy is the Lamb. Sorry. Lamb with a crown, right? But do you see the slain mark right here? Slain mark. Let's pray.